Okay, Nita, we're ready for you, please.
Thank you, Daryl. You did a great job, Daryl. It was wonderful. I just sit here with a smile on my face. Can't do anything but maybe I could cry a few tears. I'm so thankful for God and all that he's done and all that he's doing. It's just so amazing to us, isn't it? I mean,
absolutely.
We believe it. We believe it, right? So we pray it. We stand for it. But when he does it, it's like it's like the Christians, when they heard Peter knocking on the door, and the lady went up and told the rest of them, "Peter's at the door, Peter's at the door, at the door." Well, let him in. But that wasn't even a thought, because they were believing for Peter's release. And when it happened and faith was answered, they didn't know what to do about it. So anyway, that's where I stand today. Okay, I'm going to talk to you tonight about the names of God. I hope we're not going to go through all of them. There are so many. But I do hope to get through maybe three of them. And in speaking of them, I have had experiences with God functioning under certain of his names. And I can tell you, for me, it was life-changing. It made him so big, so real. It bolstered my faith in ways I don't know how to describe. But I also, the reality of actually being allowed to come to know God in whatever face he wanted to reveal, it just meant everything to me, still does. So I'm not going to share a lot. That would take much longer time than I have. But I will share with you. First of all, I've got to find my clock. I don't know what I did with it. Oh, here it is. Okay. But I do want to share a little bit about you, because you've been working with us so long. And you too are coming to see what it means to worship and to serve our God. He is committed to truth because he is truth. And he is committed to overturn everything that opposes truth. In fact, he despises the way of falsehood, lying, deception, delusion. He hates it because it destroys the human soul, and because when there is one given over to that kind of witchcraft, there is no possibility of relationship with a holy God. So I want to talk to you just a little bit, and I'll try if the Lord still has me in this stream to maybe share with you three or four names a week. That'll give you time to meditate on him, meditate on his names, and to think about him in the most wondrous ways in between our talks. And I know that Ricky also has some phenomenal things to share with you on Friday, and probably will be doing for a few weeks. So we share our hearts, and you share all that you are with us for the sake of this nation. Thank you. Okay, the first name I want to talk to you about is a name I have come to love so much. And right now it's very big in my heart, and so it's hard to even say the name without crying. Not out of sadness, but out of pure love. And you can write this name down. It's either pronounced Almighty God or God Almighty. Almighty God, and the Hebrew word for this name, and I love this name. It's been one of my favorites, if not my favorite, since an experience that I had. And maybe I should try to share that experience, because it really was very life-changing. It helped me know a big part of him in such a pointed way. And it opened the door of understanding of who he is and how he reveals himself to so great a degree for me. It may not do that for other people, but it did it for me, and it did it for Moses. And so I think I will go ahead and share that if you think that would be advantageous to your love for God. My friend and secretary had come to be with me in California. I was staying with Ricky, trying to help her through a physical crisis she was going through. And so my friend being there and having made herself my prayer partner years before, we just decided to continue it when she moved to Oregon and I moved to California. And when she came to be with me to do work in the office, we would get up at whatever time God would call us, 1:30, 2, 3 o'clock, whatever time it was, and we would begin to pray together. Well, actually, we would begin by worship. We would worship him. And then, you know, as we felt prepared, we'd go into prayer. And we were worshiping Yahweh. Now, you may say to me, why do you call him Yahweh? Everybody else calls him Yahweh. Well, they call him Yahweh because he didn't stand before them saying to them, my name is Yahweh. And so they do what they think is right, and that's fine with him, and it's fine with me, but I call him Yahweh. So he took me up. We were sitting and praying. Suddenly, I just wasn't there anymore. I was up in the heavens with our Lord, with our God, with Yahweh, or God Almighty. And he, let me find this passage. I want to talk to you straight out of the passage if I can find it quickly enough. I think it's in the book of Exodus. Do you know where that is, Ely? Yes, Exodus 34, that's right. It's where it is. So turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 34. So I have the Lord beside me, 34 verse 5. I have the Lord beside me. And the Lord, the Bible says, and the Lord descended, and this is Yahweh, descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of Yahweh. And the Lord, or Yahweh, passed by before him and proclaimed, Yahweh, Yahweh, that is, Almighty God, or God Almighty, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. So let's go back to the top of that. So Yahweh descended in a cloud and stood with me there and proclaimed the name of Yahweh. And Yahweh passed by before him, meaning me, and proclaimed the Lord, or Yahweh, the Lord God, God Almighty, merciful. And as he said the word merciful, as it came out of his mouth, it became, you might say, in the likeness of a ball, spinning in a predetermined path toward me. And when it touched me, please forgive me, I just have to get better situated here. Just a moment. When it drew near to me, it crashed into me, and what happened was unfathomable. what became me was that this mercy plunged into my innermost being and exploded into my head to toe being. And when that happened, I was frozen. Oh my gosh, I was frozen. I promise you, before our Lord, I was frozen. I could not move. I felt like every cell in my body was exploding, 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 just bursting until it exploded with mercy. The essence of mercy. And mercy is something that calls forth from one who is filled and functioning in mercy. A love so great that you would do anything to help or to save that one. No judgment, no criticism, no anger. If the person is in sin, you want to wrap your arms around that person, hold them as tight as you can, and just let love fill them. The mercy of God, the love of God, that part of Him that says we can delay judgment until later. The person may deserve the judgment because of what they did. But mercy in you says, no, I will not judge at this time. I will hold you in my arms. I will fill you with obedience and grace. But I will not judge you at this time. This was very important for Moses, and it's been very important for my life. Moses, well, we know what he went through with my people. We know what we did to him. But Moses kept moving forward in mercy. He became the very epitome of mercy before the people. When he should have shouted, "Judge them, Lord," he didn't. He went up and he spent time in prayer with the Father. And he said, don't. I know they deserve the judgment. I know they deserve your wrath. But Father, remember them. They are your children. And the nations of the earth will mock you forever for bringing us out to the desert and destroying us like we deserve. This is mercy, and he lived with this mercy the entire time that they were in the desert, because we needed it. Then the Bible says, now we're going to grace. So the Bible says that the Lord God Almighty proclaim the name of graciousness. And graciousness and kindness, courtesy, generosity of spirit, compassionate, of royal and high nobility. That's what grace means. The one who is giving the grace. He's not giving us all that we deserve, wrath, judgment, anger, so on and so forth. He's giving us the opposite, what we need. His graciousness, his kindness, his courtesy, his generosity of spirit, his compassion of one who is of high nobility. And that filled my being. It was as soon as I finally had absorbed the first thing he released, now the second thing had come. And the second thing was graciousness. And it filled me, exploded within me, just as mercy had. I am hovering up in the air with Yahweh. I can't talk. I can't think. I am so distracted because when he would release that ball and it would crash into me and explode and fill my entire being with not my nature, not more of me, but of him. I just didn't know what to do. I just thought, I've got to bear this until the Lord tells me what's coming next. The next thing that came my way was a ball, a burning flame, how would I describe it? A ball, a whirling flame of God's long suffering. Now, his long suffering can be seen in so many ways, so many times. If we just keep looking at the old covenant, we can really see it just with my people. He suffered long, long, longer still. He continued his suffering far beyond what could ever be considered appropriate to win the loyalty and the heart of those he was seeking to be their God. And so he called out, long suffering, and out it came from him that was over there on the other side of who knows where, but we could see each other very well. Came out of his belly just like the others did, and down through like an alley, a predetermined alley, just as the others had done, and exploded when it hit me, and did the same thing. It was like every cell of my body was so full of long suffering. I couldn't move. I could only just barely breathe. It was very painful. Each one of these deposits were very painful, but so beautiful because they were part of himself. He suffers long. We err and we err and we err and we err. And even when we're trying our best to do it right, we still err. So he suffers long, but he also suffers for those who do not know him. And he's willing to suffer long for those who do not know him. And be there for him or her, and continue to try to reveal himself to them until they feel needy or safe and can turn their lives over to him. Now, as these things were absorbed into my person, the next ball was released. And it was the ball of abundant goodness. Now, everyone thinks that if you think about God and you say, oh, God is good, he's so good, because you think about all the good things he does. But do you know that when God determined that the land of Israel could be divided against his own word, he did it out of his goodness. I can remember being in my room. I was only home from Israel less than a day. And I was just, my heart was so broken and filled with anguish because I knew we were going to lose the battle on this. And so the Father spoke out from heaven in the voice of the sounds of many waters. And he said to me, I mean, it was like a thousand angels talking. I don't know how really to describe it, but it was awe-inspiring. I'm shaking, I'm trembling. And he said to me, it is the goodness of God that divides the land of Israel. I was shocked. I just came home from being over there for 2 weeks to pray and pray and pray for Israel over this splitting of the land. I was shocked. And I laid there shaking so badly, I couldn't even open my mouth, because if I did, it would like that. It was terror, the terror of the Lord. And yet he was cupping that with his goodness. It is the goodness of God that divides the land of Israel. No, it wasn't that so beautiful, so sweet shepherd voice that I'd heard from my Savior for years. It was a voice full of authority, full of power, full of knowledge, full of eternity, and truly the God and the Father of the Jewish people, letting me know, the judge of all the earth, letting me know that the division of the land of Israel was his goodness. It doesn't sound like goodness. It sounds like my people are going to go through an extensive suffering because of this. There is not an Israeli in the nation that does not care about this decision. This was our land. He gave this to us. And now he's saying, It is his goodness that divides the land of Israel. When I finally got myself settled down, I wasn't shaking and trembling anymore. I was just laying there trying to survive. He said it all over again. Nita, it is my goodness that divides the land of Israel. Again, I started shaking because of that voice. It's so full of authority and holiness, righteousness, everything he is. And I'm trembling. I'm shaking. I can't answer him if I absolutely had to. Then he picked me up and we just disappeared into anywhere. And I found ourselves under the earth. And I saw earthquakes going on under the earth. I saw vast valleys being made through earthquakes under the earth. I saw waters gushing like the falls in New York under the earth. And he said to me, I made all this, and I hold its purpose in my hand. No one can change what you're looking at but me. This is beautiful in my eyes. I watch over it so that it will not be something that will bring the human race undue pain. I am Yahweh. He was so kind. He was so merciful. It's the goodness of God that keeps interrupting the schedule of my people because he's trying to get our attention so that we'll come to his feet and worship him and find our safe refuge. What an awesome, awesome, awesome experience. Here you have it before you, the greatest holy authority that ever existed. He doesn't have eternity. He is eternity. From beginning to end, where there is no beginning, and beyond to the end, where there is no end, but beyond even, spans his authority, his glory, his majesty, and his gentle, loving care for humanity. And the last one that I want to share with you tonight, I'm sorry it's taking so long. I really didn't mean to do that. Is he is truth. He despises falsehood. He despises lying. He despises deception. He absolutely hates delusion and darkness. He hates it with a righteous hatred. Yet his kingdom is filled with one that wants to spew it out like a bad cup of coffee. But truth, oh my gosh, I'll tell you more extensively another time. Truth is the most beautiful thing you will ever behold. Because he is truth, nothing can stop him, nothing can hold him down, nothing can make him be what he is not, because he's truth. He doesn't have to ask permission for who he is. He is truth. And he is calling those by his side that he loves to come and be truth with him. To be so consumed and owned by truth that you look at none but the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They are your love. They are your strength. They are your ability to stand and to believe in truth. It's not supposition, it is what it is. From the beginning to the end, nothing can destroy truth. It can even look like a man is destroying truth, but he can't touch it. He will suffer the consequences for his love of sin, but he can't affect truth. So I was going to share with you different things. And the way he revealed himself to me on these things. But I'll do it another night, maybe next week. But what I've shared with you tonight is about Almighty God, the lover of your soul, the one who determines the prayers he will answer. And the one that comes to us with the secret of that counsel and says, pray thus and so, and I will answer it. We love you. We love you very much. And I need to hang up so we can get to work.